Hello and welcome to episode 171 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Solve Smith,
Mohammed Salah Harun Al Tahan,
Solve Sidebottom,
and Azu!
Azu apparently being thrown off the ship.
That's Azu slipping off her own shoulder.
That's for curtain.
That got so weird. Cool. Yeah, so we have spent the last, I'd say, two episodes or so dealing with super strange situations, and we're just kind of been unpacking those a little bit. So I am going to do one last scene at the start of this, and then I'm going to warn you all now, I'm probably going to jump time ahead a little bit, but I am going to do a little scene that sees us into that, okay? So as I said, it's been a number of hours and so on, and you've all been sort of having your side conversations, and everyone's been having these sort of quiet, hushed conversations and so on. And then all of you at the same time notice that Wild has quietly begun setting something up in the bow of the ship. You know, where you've been playing darts and things like that.
If it's an alchemy thing, right, if it's based on the conversation we had about alchemy, then Cell should not need a perception check to immediately know that it is an alchemy thing.
It might loosely be considered an alchemy thing.
What does it look like from a objective sense? Like, what is he doing?
He appears to be... He's brought up a large number of materials from all over the ship. Materials that are going spare, but nonetheless materials. So you're talking like strips of canvas, rope. He found some yard arms that had been from the old ship that just happened to get packed along, stuff like that. And he, at the moment, has just been piling them up at the bow, where there's been dartboards and stuff. And he's sort of, he's taking a little while about it, because he's not the most robust individual, but he's sort of doing it on his own, and he keeps standing with his hands on his hips, and kind of considering the left, then considering the right. Then he goes down below decks, tries to find another bit. He'll maybe nick a little bit from here. He just seems to be assembling a pile of stuff currently. The reason that I mentioned that it's probably got alchemy stuff is, he appears to be accruing just about every bottle he can find on the ship.
Wild?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Oh, keeping busy, you know.
Yeah, great. No. Great. Busy with what? Because, I mean, interior decorating, or are you thinking of throwing this all over the side, or, you know, what's going on?
The former.
Is this some sort of art attack?
I don't know what that is.
It's when you kind of, art that just appears in public places. It's usually quite big. Then people sort of stand
like a flash mob. I've heard of those.
Yeah, flash artists. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I just thought that is a very ambiguous turn of phrase. I was like, do I make a joke about it?
No, was perfectly in character, is Wild. Wild goes flat faced, stares off dead in the eye and goes, yes.
Right.
No, I thought people might need a pick me up, so I thought I might, you know.
Wait.
I can't necessarily.
Are you putting on a play?
No, I'm not going to. Look. As much as I'd like to put on a play, okay, I don't think... I don't have a one-man show in me currently, and unfortunately, I don't think anyone else is necessarily going to be in a situation to do that, so I'm finding the next best thing.
Right, no, it's not bloody improv, is it? I hate improv.
No, it's not improv. And also...
There's numbers added to it.
That neither surprises me, Mr. Smith, nor also does it encourage me, you know? You can learn a lot of useful skills from improv, the ability to react to tense situations in a way that, you know, doesn't escalate the situation. The list goes on. Anyway, I'm digressing.
No, what are you doing then?
Look, I'm... He takes a moment, gives a big flourish, and then just gives up. I'm just trying to make the bar social area nice, okay?
Oh, wait, so you are doing decorating?
That's what I said.
Well, no, you said sort of. You were like, great, no, brilliant. Let's make it nice. Fab, do you want a hand?
To do more than.
I ain't doing much, and I'm in my own, you know, body, so I'm not having to deal with anything. So, you know, I can help out.
I need something spongy, and as much of it as you can get.
Right. Maybe some sort of sponge. I'll check the kitchens.
Thank you. Right. The rest of you start seeing Wild separate stuff out into relative piles and so on. Sell for free to your eye. Come on. What system is that? You can't just put all of the wood things at one end of the deck and all of the not wood things at the other end of the deck. That's not a system.
Sel might have the same reaction here as when I was doing some work in Brazil and I tried to order beef, and in the restaurant they looked at me extremely confusedly because at least in that kind of carvery restaurant in that place in Brazil, that is the same thing as turning up and just sort of saying, I would like food. Do you want thigh, stewed, leg, what? These are meaningful phrases, but yeah, so if you say, oh look, they put the metal things in one corner. Like, Sel will just be so baffled by what that...
That is absolutely what he has done. He has just made piles of different types of material.
Because there must be some kind of coherent order that they just can't work out. Like, is it that there are things with a reflective index over, like, 0.7 in a context within which a lightning storm is imminent? That must be what they're doing versus the ones that have an absorptive profile. Like, it's, they're not quite able to parse.
Out of everyone, Hamid is the one who has the most insight. Wild, I mean, it's obvious to your eye. I don't know how anyone else could miss it. Wild's clearly making it into a cabaret bar. He's taking what is a pile of bottles.
He's organising things by aesthetic.
Yes.
Wow. By literally how it looks and no other system.
So that it's is a reflective from, index over...
Absolutely.
Right,
from an aesthetic value, it's a very sensible system that's going to allow him to really get a nice cohesive feel going on. You can sort of see what he's already going for,
I almost did Hamid's normal voice there. Let me recalibrate. Hamid still with Azu on his shoulder. Wild, do you really think outside in the possibly the windiest position on the boat is the correct space for a bar of this kind?
Yeah, well, absolutely. The glass, we could smash it really easily.
No. So, Wild's getting weirdly enthusiastic in a way he hasn't for a while. So, okay.
Also, one quick thing. Just as Zolf's, like, walking along, holding some stuff, he goes, it's a ship, not a boat. And then carries on. Like.
I learned this one... I learned this one when we were in Prague. I'd never seen it before. Really, really clever. Give me a second. He goes away, takes one of the bottles, and he just starts faffing with something. And then he holds up the most jury-rigged thing you've ever seen. What's that? The bottle's upside down and held in like a weird clamp.
Wait, is he making a like pendulum thing so that it stays upright?
He then just starts like hammering it into a piece of wood. Okay, Hamid, hold this.
Well,
hold this upright.
I've been in bars which have these sort of things, but they're not normally outside several hundred feet in the air.
Yeah, but the,
I mean, let, Hamid holds
let me,
what Wild hands
let me
in
finish
while
for
this.
Goodness sake. Right, okay, so now I need something heavy. Long story short, he does the worst job you have ever seen in your life, Sel, and all it is a measure for bottles. You know, you put the bottle in inverted and it can do measures and so on.
Yeah.
But it uses a counterweight so that no matter what the ship is doing, it's always upright. He's done a very terrible job, but the idea is actually sound.
Yeah.
It's just one of those measures on a hinge with a big old weight at the bottom.
He's made a gyroscopic.
That's a word, yes. I know.
It's gyroscope and they're called optics.
Ah.
When you have the measures and...
I didn't know they were called optics.
Well, hopefully someone out there got that joke.
Now
that is a joke
that,
for people who are better.
Someone is just having the time of their life with that joke right now, Ben. So,
that was for all you bartenders out there.
Cell takes a while to understand this because they're not... They've never been that concerned with the exact amount of alcohol that's being like put into a drink. It's a thing that one feels rather than measures, you know? it's an art, not a science.
Is that how they do alchemy as well?
Yes.
But Wild, having shown that, he's already kind of just going off and doing it. He is going for a veranda look, where he's trying to stretch out materials over the top as a sort of canopy, where the cross breeze gets them to sort of billow artfully and so on from the bow, where because it's the bow, at least two-thirds of it are going to be looking out to the sky. It's all aesthetics, but in fairness, he is doing it where it's like, no, we need proper tables, or at least close enough. Just lounging around isn't going to do.
Oscar, this, in many ways, this is a wonderful idea, and in some times I would love to partake of an aperitif of an evening in just such an environment. But, only a week ago we came through a physical storm, you know, where the boat was being thrown around, hammering rain.
That's why I'm hammering things down,
I think you're overestimating how difficult it is to withstand the kind of weather conditions we might encounter.
Yeah, Hamid, go gently lean on it.
Okay.
a lesson on how to be Azu.
What do you choose to go gently lean on? Feel free to insert something into the scene and we'll just know it's there.
Probably one of the table. Has he set up any tables yet? Or is it still...
Yeah, there's a couple of... I forget what they're called. Like the drums that you use for massive amounts of rope and so on.
Sure.
That you can basically yes. roll, and then if you put them on their side, suddenly, you know, table.
Yeah. Okay, Hamid goes and leans on one of them. Still in Azu's body.
Yeah.
It shifts slightly.
Mm.
See, that was just, you know... Not extremely strong weight. I mean, if we have to fly through another storm, Oscar, it's just...
Well, what would you propose, Hamid?
Nail everything down.
That's what I said.
I mean, I really don't think being on deck is the right place for this. Somewhere slightly more protected from the elements.
There ain't no space anywhere else.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
I mean,
there's
I'm not the expert, Hamid. But Zolf, if you think that this is a workable idea, I will leave it to.
Well, the problem is, Hamid, there's just no space anywhere else. You heard it from the first mate. There's just no space, Hamid. Just not anywhere. There's just no space anywhere else.
Look, quite frankly, he's got an idea, and we have an incredible engineer on board, and some more incredible engineers in the kobolds, because obviously the first person was Sel. So I'm sure they can make it work.
Can Azu roll sense motive on Wild?
Absolutely.
Aw, that's only a 16.
A 16? You get the impression he is not necessarily as incompetent at this as he might seem to be.
Hmm. Okay, she's not going to say anything about this. Azu just goes,
Sel, would you be willing to help? I have a couple of ideas I really think could be goers.
Yeah, so, Oscar, I would, I'll be glad to help. I also, at the moment, I'm taking shifts, leaning nonchalantly against the door of the room that Carter is inside, and those are quite important. And I'm also trying to keep the boat afloat, so, you know, on the air, as it were. And so the help that I can provide may be relatively small, but, and then starts listing lots of ideas about counterweights and how things might balance upright.
Also, Sel, I mean, yeah, Barnes' door lean. Nope, Carter.
Well, Carter is inside, and me and Barnes are taking shifts, just
right,
leaning.
Well,
he's not a prisoner, you know, we're just leaning against it and
yeah.
Making sure that he doesn't do anything that would be, you know, Carterish.
Tell you what, that's good and important work. We should probably draw up a proper rotor for that, so it's not just you and Barnes sharing the load.
Oh, okay. So almost looks slightly disappointed just because, you know, they've been having really nice chats with Barnes. It's just been chill.
I think Zolf catches the look on your face and goes, wait, unless that was like quality Barnes and you time. Like, no,
oh.
I mean, look, you can have the...
Oh,
if you want
you
the rotor...
Barnes?
What?
I didn't know Barnes was capable of quality time.
What?
He seems good. He's nice.
I just wanted to talk to him about, like, the boat. I'm going to build him a boat, and you need to know quite a lot about someone to find out how you make a nice boat for them. Honestly.
Oh, I doubt that Barnes would have called it a boat. Is that, are you sure that's what you've been talking about, Sel?
Yeah, no, it is actually a boat. He doesn't want a ship because he's dealt with ships too much, you know? Like, he wants a boat.
Go on. Wild's just stepping
from.
In. Interesting, yes. He wants to fish. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can fish, so you need to talk through all the different... Sel looks absolutely baffled at you all and just starts building something.
So do you want that rotor or are you...
Well, yes, obviously, that would be great.
Okay, all right, I'll drop a rotor.
While you're here, Zolf, I actually, there was something I wanted to ask you and Azu about. But Skrark mentioned that Sassara was having a really difficult time of it, and I saw you talk to her, and I just wondered if she needed additional attention in any way, or if you've already...
She's lined up. Look, basically, she's having to deal with the physical withdrawal symptoms that Earhart's body is dealing with.
Ah, yes, tricky.
But I had a chat, and she basically seems to totally get it. Like, if you want to check in on her, make sure she's okay. But pretty much the only thing we can do is just bed rest, and, like, I've relieved her from duty completely of needing to do anything.
That
so,
seems
I mean,
sensible,
I,
yes.
You should check in, because obviously she's not used to that sort of stuff, so it could take a toll. So...
Yeah.
Especially like others of the kobolds, you know, people that she is more comfortable with, definitely should. And I imagine they are. But you know, if you want to like do something,
yes,
official, then
I'll do the same. Actually, Sel,
What? Yes? No, what? I was concentrating. Yes? What? Yes?
No, just... I've noticed that Sasra has taken to the mechanical work as strongly as any of the kobolds, and they seem to have a particular respect for you, and I think that I would say Sasra looks up to you, and I just wondered.
Oh, if anything, I look up to her. She's extraordinarily good at the detailed kind of work that it's probably the talons, but it's probably she's just got an eye for that kind of intricate wiring system.
Well,
which I've always
exactly, just, and I just think that perhaps if you might also be able to visit them and. Offer them, you know, I don't want to put any more demands on your time. I know you've got a lot to do already, but...
What?
If you
no, I'm not doing anything important.
Any...
Yes, I could absolutely do that. What? Yes,
well, also,
I'll go do that now. And...
Sort of construct, you know, if they can't be on duty properly, but, you know, could do some useful work of just that kind, or even a puzzle, or, you know, something to keep them busy and keep them practicing while they're resting, if you could... Maybe provide something suitable.
Oh, I think
if,
that there are.
If you see
a
what
few...
I mean,
no,
I, maybe
no,
I
do.
Explained.
There are a few kobold logic games. I think that like they've mentioned to me, but like we haven't really had time to do a few. So it would be quite fun to actually to ask her to develop a couple.
Yes, I think she'd really appreciate your company, especially in that way.
Do you think she'd like some marbles?
Oh yes, they might like some.
Smash cut.
Azu.
The boat is crashing, filled to the ceiling with marbles,
just
hemorrhaging them like a comet from the sky.
Completely. Is this just the inside of Azu's head? Halt. Fist pump. Dot gif. Right?
can we? Can I just ask, Polly? I think you may have addressed this before, but it has been a long time. And so, reminding, we have, in the course of this recording, sometimes used she and sometimes used they for Sasra. Do we have this written down? Is this?
Yes, yes, I do. I have lists of the pronouns for the kobolds. Some are they, them exclusively, and some kobolds use a mix of he, they, and some kobolds use a mix of she, they. And
okay.
Sasra is she, her, or they, them.
Okay, cool.
But both
so...
uses both. And so, yeah.
Awesome. So, well, yeah, that's fine. Cool. Sel excitedly tells Azu about the exact number of marbles that they will need to... Oh, you know what? They're very good at balance things as well. Maybe we can
Is it 200,000? Because otherwise I feel like we're not going to use all of Azu's marbles.
Azu will happily share as many marbles as you want.
Cool. Cool, sorted.
So... I am going to say now that unless anyone objectively interferes, Wild is going to continue with his plans because he thinks they're a great idea. And occasionally, sometimes out of pity, sometimes out of boredom, the odd crew member might do a little tweak here, do a little tweak there. As an example, at some point, Friedrich comes along and starts fiddling with the accordion a little bit. We'll see why later. And yeah, they all just do like little... That's right.
Because he's
going
to play with it at some
point. That is foreboding.
It's not a mystery there.
But anyway, long story short, people seem to have like their own little pet projects within this project.
How is Friedrich coping with playing the accordion while in the body of a kobold?
Oh, he hasn't played the accordion. Oh. He just keeps faffing with it. So, unless anyone actively is going to interfere, I'm going to start moving time on a little bit accelerated.
Sorry,
in terms of, like, montaging.
Interfere, like, yeah.
This
if
is a novel that you're all along for the ride for.
You
I don't know what you mean,
have
Lydia.
Have a scene or do something or tell me information about your character. Oh, this character.
I am jonesing for an explosion, okay? It's been so long since anything exploded. Nothing is on fire.
Self
no one has attacked in days.
Cell absolutely feels it on explosion. It's awful. Anyway,
it's a whole thing, but yeah, in terms of like montage style, it's just I want you to imagine the time lapse of a little bit goes up here, a little bit goes down, a little bit goes up there. Okay, down, right. Oh, now there's canopies. Okay, canopies go down, canopies go back up, but now they have some holes in. Oh, right, good, go down, they come up. Now there's lights. Oh, there's a dartboard. The dartboard's gotten bigger. Oh, okay, right. Okay, right. And it's just slowly taking shape as people do these little things. This is how I'm gonna track time for the next, I'd say, 48 hours, unless anyone's like, whoa, hang on, like I something super important needs to happen.
What? No, these conversations aren't important at all. What? No.
Good. Okay. Cool. I'm glad.
That's fine. We're just chatting about boat. No.
In which case, I am going to accelerate to about 48 hours from that last conversation we had.
Can I throw some scenes into a montage that we don't necessarily have to play through, but just because I think...
Absolutely. This is what I was about to encourage people to do, is we have our baseline montage, which is a slow time-lapse of this thing taking shape in the bow. Does anyone want to have their own cutaway elements to the montage?
So Mick and Natan are in the bodies of Barnes and Carter.
Correct.
And we're already good friends, so they've been spending a lot of time, the two of them. And out of the kobolds, they are both the ones who like music, or in Mick's case, noise, the most.
That is an important distinction. Yes, you are correct.
So Hamid would like to introduce them to Friedrich and basically encourage Friedrich to help them explore the variety of noises and sounds they can make while in the different bodies that might be different to the ones they could do in their own bodies.
So here's what happens. As you are, and this is a non-vocal, like, you know, scene where we see the image and then we cut away as whatever is happening in the background happens. It comes clear to you that what Friedrich has been doing is trying to build a rudimentary pair of gloves to extend his hand reach so that he can get back to the accordion. He's not doing a good job, at which point the kobolds are like, and they start just building a new instrument.
Awesome. So yeah, so I'm seeing Mirk as our resident loud noise lover is probably percussion, and Natan is more of the vocals. And I think, you know, so Natan is in Carter's body, and I don't know if Carter would be a singer, but maybe Natan can find some sort of joy in using Carter's vocal cords to sing.
Carter has a fabulous voice.
Of course he does.
It's like a problematic angel. Anyone else? I'm gonna let each of you insert a scene into our montage before we wrap it out.
I want to come back to Azu and Kiko at some point.
Okay.
But not right now.
Understood.
For me, it's nothing serious. Like, Zolf is just still making sure that people are fine, but most people seem to be handling pretty well. And also, Sasra has, like, the other kobolds to help them. So, like, I'm pretty comfortable with them being okay with dealing with this kind of stuff. However, Zolf will continue to just check in on Earhart, because I'm not doing the whole thing that was like, hey, big breakthrough, mass emotional turmoil.
Bye.
You just deal with that, right? So I will check in with her and not, like, even need to make a big conversation out of it, but just make sure she's okay.
Earhart has been avoiding everyone, but not spiraling. I don't know how else to describe it.
Fine.
It's a lot of, I need some time to think. Well, are you sure? No, I actually do genuinely need some time to think, kind of thing.
So what I think is Zolf will, like, just give her updates. So if essentially being first mate and just doing the job, but, you know, also, like, checking in and, like, keep her abreast of wild bar plans, because he thinks that her being annoyed at Wild will help, like, just get her back to a little bit of normality, because that's, like, that is a thing that she's always had. And it's almost an anchor. And also, keep mentioning that, like, hey, everyone seems to actually kind of be pulling together, and maybe, yeah, inviting her and being like, hey, maybe at some point you want to come out and, like, share in the social stuff which is occurring.
Then two things I'll give you. One, Earhart seems to be actually starting to captain, admittedly remotely, but it's gone from deal with it to, well, how do we do this properly?
Great.
Not in a, I'm feeling great, but Mora, I am keeping myself in a cabin all day, and problems to solve is pretty cool right now.
I will continue to bring her problems then, effectively.
She's doing it through a small sort of square in the edge of the she's called it Zoom. And so it's like remotely kind of.
Oh, is it like those Italian, like, wine windows that they've brought back, where just, like, a hand comes out with some orders and I hand some orders back and it goes back into the office?
Yeah, it's called Zoom because it makes the ship go faster if it works.
Yeah. Weirdly, like, somehow mega corporations are spying on it, but you're not sure how.
For some reason as well, Earhart seems to start getting in on. You know how Wild's building this thing up front? She starts clearly giving you orders that are meant to make his life difficult but not actively sabotage. Where it's stuff like, well, we're going to have to requisition a lot of these materials for suddenly this need, just to give him a headache.
So I feel like actually Zolf slightly delights in this, because he's pretty confident this is going to be good for Wild as well. Although Wild seems to be doing really well, which is grand. But also, again, given Wild's the joy that he seems to take in verbal sparring and basically being annoying to people, that actually having Ihar actively engaging with him again will be like, he'll be annoyed, but he'll like take delight from that. So
it's simple. What our first scene will show is, you know, Zolf doing all of the stuff with Captain Ihar and then being like, we've got to do something about this this bar, and then we'll just, as part of the montage, jump to Zolf is with Wild discussing the bar, going, we've got to do something about this captain, and in both situations Zolf's like,
for once in his life Zolf's actually being socially helpful.
By helping people annoy each other in a productive, healthy way.
That is the kind of thing that a low charisma character can really get into.
I got one from Hamid, I got one from Ben. Any other scenes that people are wanting to insert?
No, like, I've literally told you what sells ones are, which... not talking about boat, what? No, it's fine. Anyway, just, you know, just being responsible together. And, you know, boat.
In which case,
you know,
then...
Anyone on the boat? That's cool.
I think the only thing that Azu will be doing is sort of sticking close to Hamid for now.
Give me a diplomacy check, Sel.
Oh, gosh.
Well, Lydia, for Sel.
Okay, so this is... what are the contexts within which it gets the massive boost? Because sometimes it's 11 and sometimes it's 4, and I've forgotten exactly.
Right.
But let's say it's high. Let's say it's cool. We're working on intelligence, in which case it's 26.
I'm going to be taking the 4, not the 11 on this one.
Okay, it's 19.
19, okay. So good. Barnes lets you know, and I'm not going to RP this scene. There was a young gentleman that Barnes thought he was going to settle down with on this mystical, basically, shore cottage. He hasn't really thought it out. It's a combination of, like, a cottage and its own personal dock. It's not really a thing.
It's kind of a blurry... It's comfort, but on a boat, but also with a fire.
But also a cottage,
also
yeah.
Like a cottage, yeah. It's got a cat, but also maybe, like, a dog. Using.
There was a young gentleman a while ago that he thought might be the person to fill that role. Unfortunately, he died in service.
Aww.
He was lost at sea. And by lost at sea, I don't mean that in the, ooh, maybe he'll come. He was...
No. It was seen to be lost at sea.
He was very much, like, seen to be dead at sea.
Okay, that sounds like an awkward conversation. I'm going to assume that it was not quite...
Yeah, I'm not going to RP it, but...
It ends up being quite muted, and I suppose at that point, like, Sel would sort of say, like, oh, it's, you know, it's strange, isn't it? You have people for a while and then you lose them, but it's, you know, I pat him on the shoulder.
It is what it is.
I too have known loss.
Yeah. This is a low charisma character saying, there. But deep, like.
there.
Like, oh, I empathise, but not doing the. This is the.
I understand exactly what you mean.
Where Cell doesn't run on, you know.
Yeah.
That's the. Yeah.
In which case, then I am going to jump to. Wild insists on everyone and encourages people to basically get a bit involved as a ribbon cutting ceremony for the front of the ship.
Aww.
And he says he realizes it's a bit awkward, so he encourages people to. I think he picks something like the theme is fancy dress with the sub theme of whatever the heck you want, who cares, let's just have some fun. He basically just encourages people to dress silly if they want.
Cell is wearing Carter in a headlock. It's like, oh, look, you get to be involved.
I'm going to leave people to people's imaginations how people choose to execute upon that. But Ihar does come out and steps out onto the deck extremely somberly and very carefully in a modified modified airship captain's Galia that actually, you know, seems to fit. She's clearly made a couple of adjustments on the sly, with a full-sized stuffed flamingo in place of the customary feather.
Incredible!
She has not acknowledged it in any way and is an extremely dour.
Hammond would like to borrow the magic sleeves back from his own body.
Yes.
He's going to consult with Azu to make sure she is happy with his choice, but he is going to come, if Azu is on board, in a super fancy ball gown.
Oh, yes!
What
Azu
color? What
would
color?
Love this.
I mean,
she never gets to wear.
Pink,
I mean,
but...
I think Azu has slightly mixed feelings because, on the one hand, she's like, yes, put me in a massive dress. But on the other hand, she's like, she's not wearing the massive dress.
Well, one of the things we can do is I can say, well, you can do this again whenever you want, because once we've designed this together, it will be easy for you to borrow the sleeves and wear it when you want to.
Also, may I just feel free to say no, but I love the idea of maybe doing something in pink and purple, because it's Hamid's colours and Azim's colours.
Oh, yes, I love that!
You're thinking big ball gown, maybe with like a purple sash across the waist, that kind of thing.
Do right. you know what Billy Porter wore to the Oscars?
Yes.
I'm really sorry. I've dived this story well beyond the realms of anything I actually know anything about.
So that was like ball gown from
below
like
the waist
then, like, but like a suit, a like
oh okay
white
oh,
tie
hell
kind
yeah.
of suit at
oh,
the top.
Oh,
so you can
oh
like,
hell yeah
yeah
yes.
that's the kind of
there you go
yes.
yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah, I love it. Okay, so we're going for Billy Porter Oscar outfit, but in pink and purple. If Azu and Hamid can come to that agreement, that feels
absolutely.
Right to me.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Beautiful.
Wild has used some of the leftover materials to come dressed as the ship. He's done a fairly good job. The costume is bulky and not necessarily very well made, but it's a really sterling effort.
And he did all that without prestidigitation. You know, that's respect. Respect.
Right, well...
Well,
oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
So I will ask Barnes, but in the interest of silly and slightly ironic, I would ask to use Barnes's old naval dress uniform, but make no modifications so that it's massively oversized for me. So that I've got, like, these big sleeves and stuff.
Barnes is fine with that. He's completely fine with that.
So I will turn up in a massively oversized, like, naval... What was he, a captain? No, he was higher than that.
Commander.
He was a commander, yeah. So I've got
at his peak,
hat.
He was a commander.
Yeah, I've got that
You've got
hat
a hat and you've
well.
Got epaulettes and all kinds of stuff
yeah,
going
yeah, yeah.
on.
Yeah, great. So that's why I come in.
Is Sel choosing to take part?
Yeah. Sel will be... What's a good animal? Forgotten all animals.
Out of all of the animals in the world, you have to make a choice.
Oh, I know. A penguin. An emperor penguin. because they're in a black tie suit, you know?
Love it.
So, gonna do that. But they can do that a couple of times, of course, in a day. So they do arrange with Barnes to have an eye on Carter and take it in shifts. So
Yeah, that's fine.
When it, you know... In between, they are wearing...
Carter seems to have been far more chill once he realised there was a party on the cards.
That him being chill means he's planning something.
We should just dress Carter as like a kettlebell, so we can just place him on a table, and then he can't go anywhere.
But he's not a prisoner. He hasn't done anything wrong so far.
Oh, no,
we're just keeping
dress,
an eye. We're just
know.
Keeping an eye, yeah.
And that leaves Helen. What are we thinking? Are we going for it?
Right. So, Azu is in Mirk's body... So Azu is going to... And Mirk is in Barnes's body. Okay,
yep.
All right. Well, Azu is going to go and find them.
Mm-hmm.
And Azu is going to... So Azu still has her bag of holding. And Azu is going to produce two horns. Like, as in, like, Horn of Gondor type horns.
Ah.
Sure.
Because those were among the things that
yeah,
I splurged
on. You did explicitly
nice.
Say you bought a massive pair of horns.
And Azu is going to ask Merc if it would be okay if she like put these massive horns on Merc's already like
Merc's eyes light up, and unfortunately Merc's English isn't quite so good as say mm-hmm. Sassra's is, so it, all you get is basically a oh yeah. However, Merc then insists on basically Merc gives Merc's own body a bit of a makeover, where it's like, well, we'll put some big horns, massive horns,
yeah!
And then like, okay, no, we don't want spikes, we want massive spikes, and just, you come out looking a little bit like a mace.
Yes! Do you know what?
Are there any like jangly clangy bits? Because remember, he does love loud noises.
Of course.
Yes!
Yeah.
But what I would say is you turn quite a lot of eyes of the kobolds who are in... various places of the ship and various people's bodies like a, oh, nice.
Very spiky, very
the height
good.
Of kobold fashion.
Yeah, very yeah. spiky.
Azu goes like she's completely down with this because now she has loads of spikes, she feels less vulnerable.
Oh.
And she's like, yeah, I fear me.
Yes.
So, with everyone ready then, Wild stands there beside the ribbon, in inverted commas. It's just a strip of canvas, I think, with a knife instead of a pair of scissors, but he just looks around and says, Captain, would you care to say a few words? At which point Earhart just gives a big sigh, steps forward and goes, no, but in a kind of joking way, and then steps back. At point Wild goes,
Zolf gives her like a massive like, yeah, thumbs up, go for it.
At which point Wild's like, couldn't have put it better myself. Excellent. Well, that it actually seems to have thrown Wild, which brings a minor smirk to Earhart's face. Right, yes, yeah, so this is for everyone. It's okay to enjoy it. Yeah. He then cuts it, then hustles himself over to behind the bar, in inverted commas, ducks down, pulls up, puts on the spangliest bar apron you've ever seen. It appears to be covered in bits of, like, broken mirror for maximum shine and so on, and then just kind of gestures for everyone to come in and take a seat. And I'm going to take a break there.
Oh, yay!
And welcome back. So, I am not going to say what every single individual person has been doing, but I will say this. Let's call them the band that Hamid has encouraged the creation of.
Named so because they are not allowed, but they're playing anyway.
Clever.
Alex, could you just quickly say who's in the band? Just for...
Yes. So, this is Merc, Natan, and Friedrich.
Yeah. Aww.
And between the three of them, they have completely deconstructed the accordion and built a new instrument, which is about 5 times the volume, but does require one of them to be manning a bellows. It's closer to an old-style medieval organ.
Aww.
But it's got some sick bass, y'all. They modified a barrel to be the lowest tone.
Wow, a real big honker.
Yeah.
Hey there,
in terms
honky
of
boy!
In terms of Merkin percussion, you were correct. So we now have a massive, basically, organ that can be piped and pumped and so on, alongside what basically we would recognise as a drum kit. Both Merk and Natan can play the drum kit, but they both play it very differently. Merk is basically... whereas Natan's a bit more like... they have
jazz.
Very different styles. Yeah, they have very,
jazz,
very different cool styles.
Wild keeps thrash metal.
Yeah, Wild keeps gently from his bar encouraging Natan to play the drums rather than Merc to keep the ambiance, but he's not necessarily winning the whole time. In terms of other stuff that's been going on, I'm going to go ahead and say that people managed to get the counterweighted bottles working quite well. Turns out Wild was born to tend bar. Every single person has a drink in their hand, and it turns out that... he might have a flair for alchemy in a different way. And he seems to have taken that to heart, to make of that what you will. Everyone else seems to be engaging in various ways. Sigif, Kiko, and a couple of the others at various points start a card game going in the corner. It basically seems to be going the way it should, which is it's quite a chill time. It's neither a rave, but also it's just quite nice, and people will tag out to say take shifts at the wheel and things like that, but it's quite a chill little lounge vibe they've got going on. In terms of that, I'm going to let people pursue what they want within here. I am not going to be generating any further scenes. I'm following your lead now.
Okay. In which case, Azu is going to clank over to Kiko. That's another thing that's reassuring. She clanks again.
Yeah. Yes, she does. It's true. Okay, so Kiko, who is in Friedrich's body, yep.
Yep. Azu sort of looks up at her and she's like, hello.
Oh, Azu, yes, hi. How are you doing? Kiko looks super awkward by virtue of Friedrich's enormous arms with someone who doesn't know, just in general, where to put their arms. So you know when it's like, do I put them in my pocket? Do I put them behind my hands or whatever? Like, I don't know. But because they're just so oversized, it's very obvious that Kiko's a little bit awkward in a way that Kiko, in her normal body, absolutely was not. Mm-hmm. She looks, to your eye, like without a role, a lot more vulnerable than she was when the two of you were first sort of getting to know one another.
Okay.
Would you like to join us?
Yeah, I want it, but I can you come over here for a minute?
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Kiko stands knocking the table a bit, and everyone's like, "Oh!" And she's like, "Oh, shut up." Yeah, okay. Kiko comes over with you to a quiet corner of the I keep wanting to call it 10 forward, and I can't.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
It was the bar on Starship Enterprise run by Whoopi Goldberg.
We'll call it the Bar Bar. The Bow Bar, even. Why not? Until someone gives it a proper name. But yeah.
We're still working on that.
Kiko,
we're still working on the name. Okay.
Kiko heads over and is just sort of stood awkwardly with you.
Okay.
Close, but doesn't really know what to do with herself, very obviously.
Yeah, Azu is also standing awkwardly, and another familiar thing. So Azu says, I wanted to say sorry for not, you know, coming and checking in.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I should have.
It's really weird, isn't it? Like,
I keep worrying that I'm gonna like hurt someone.
Oh,
you know, because I'm just. I tell you what, I mean, Friedrich doesn't seem the type. Like, you know, he's really, you know what I mean. He's a bit of a wet blanket, but he's strong. I'll give him that. Don't think he knows what to do with it, but yeah, I'm just worried that I'm gonna. Yeah. So she's still stood there, and she is super awkward and, like, picking at her own hands and so on, where she just... It's clear she really doesn't trust herself in this situation. It's obvious to anyone, and she's just there kind of keeping her arms very much tight to herself because, you know, obvious reasons. I didn't mean anything to stay away. I'm sorry.
No, well, me neither. I mean, it's a lot to get used to, but I wanted... you to know that I've been, you know, thinking about you, but also, you know, we can't really, because we're indifferent, and it would be weird if...
No, yeah, no. I get it.
But, and Azu reaches up with her tiny hands and, like, puts her tiny hands on Kiko's massive hand.
And Kiko just kind of... yeah, just it encourages it without, like, crunch grabbing or anything.
Kiko successfully does not crush Azu, thank you.
Basically.
Azu says, well, you know, I've been very big for a long time, and, you know, usually, as long as you don't mean to, you won't hurt anyone, and you'll get used to it, and you're not the kind of person who would, so
yeah,
you'll be okay.
That's true. Well,
But yes, I wanted to say sorry for... And that it's not that I've been avoiding you. It's just been weird.
Kiko takes a moment and then sits, and in so doing ends up at eye level.
Yay!
Yeah. I like your horns.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, I'm really spiky. Makes me feel better.
I kind of want to, like, roll you at Carter.
yeah, go on.
I'm going to use this opportunity to sort of pull away from that a little bit.
Yes, just in the background.
I was going to say, yeah, no matter what scene's happening, Azu in the spike ball is just rolling gently from over a fleeing Carter.
And then off frame, we just hear a...
Anyone else have anything they want to pursue at this moment?
I'll probably grab Zolfin's cell at some point for a chat. Mm-hmm.
Then now would be a good time.
Guys, I've just been thinking, like, since this happened, we've sort of been dealing with the immediate consequences, and, well, it feels like we've, you know, put out the fire, as it were, as in nothing, you know, we know we can... Everyone can survive in this state, and we know that we can keep flying the ship, but we haven't really made any progress to reversing it. And, well, we talked, when it first happened, Sel, we talked about, you know, the similar magical effects that we'd both heard about, but I think we decided that because it was affecting so many people at once, we didn't really have the skills or the expertise or the means to just undo it in any reasonable way.
Can I just look from my point of view, right? What I'd like to do is find the nearest bloody Aurora Borealis we can and drive straight into it. However, I haven't been affected by this. and it could do something completely different. So this is not a decision that... It's a decision that I will facilitate as first mate, but it's not a decision that I can make, because it's more important that this decision is made, or at least informed heavily by those of you who have been affected by it, right?
I think, yes, so that's not too different from my own thinkings of. Like, we don't have the magical means available to us, but the wild magic is there and is a potentially very powerful source, but I think just flying into it and crossing our fingers might not do what we want. And I remember, Sel, we talked about the design of the cage and about how to make it safe, and you were explaining how the rod on top...
It channels,
and I wondered, is there any way to sort of reverse the polarity of that flow
of the trance? Not the old ones. You'd want the new.
If we went through another Aurora Borealis,
they would be neutrons. Yes,
we would make sure the flow was flowing in the other direction. I think it would.
Sorry, just quickly, what is that in like people language?
Oh, we're going to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. That's
I'll tell you what.
Enough.
Can I get a knowledge arcana from both Hamid and Sel?
I mean, shall I also make one? Because I think I have it. I'm
just... You have knowledge arcana. I didn't realize you had knowledge arcana.
I should also give Hamid the chance to say the phrase as well, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, give Bryn the chance.
Yeah.
I have one rank in it, so I get to
roll. Yeah, you can roll.
Oh, no, that's a 10, so nah, probably not.
Natural 20, so total of 36. Booyah.
Mine's 23.
The dice, no.
So if I aid on
so
top...
So here's the thing. So, Sel... Yeah, that scans. Hamid, it's a one in a million chance.
but it just might work.
We have to be really careful about the speed with which we go into the...
Yes, I think fundamentally...
we accelerate.
It is, you know, it is in some senses a roll of the dice. The wild magic is always going to have some potential unexpected effects. But if we try and replicate the conditions as far as possible, but while also having the flow of magic through the ship in the opposite direction, I think it at least increases our chances as much as possible to have the wild magic reverse its previous effect, maybe. I mean, it seems to hold up. I've been thinking about this for a little while.
So, Sel, then, from a like sailing point of view, you're saying we have to do a particular speed. Is it like, I don't know, like 22 knots per hour or maybe more than that? Is it?
You've just Googled how many knots there are in a mile, haven't you? Or is I'm going to have to search that?
No, not at all.
I know what he's going for.
Yeah, I'm just, complete ignorance.
Yeah. I think of like maybe about 88 should
88,
do it.
88 knots per hour?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's pretty fast, but well, I
guess we'll have to push the elementals, so we might, like, some of the lightning might leak out behind the ship while we do it, but I think we
oh,
could
no,
just
that
about
would be
get there.
Terrible if there were...
Okay, so
accelerate lightning
it, yes.
everywhere
hit,
while we zoom
accelerate
forward.
Accelerate the ship, hit the Borealis head-on after we've reversed the polarity of the flow of
the
neutrons.
Yeah.
88 knots per hour.
And right, well, I'll let you
cross our fingers and pray to whatever gods we, you know, are closest by, I guess.
All right, well, you know, I'll stay outside. I can crank the power, get us up to speed, smash us straight into the Aurora Borealis, and then I'm, like, you two, well, obviously, Ahmed, you'll have to be down there, but Sel, I assume you're going to be manning the, I don't know, room mechanism stuff. I'm assuming there's going to be buttons and levers and dials and stuff, but, you know, that's your kind of deal.
Yeah, I actually, wow. Thank you. I'm so sorry that this happened when you trusted the cage that I built.
No, Sel, stop right there. You had to jury-rig together a cage which dealt with an amount of wild magic that no one's ever been able to deal with, and this is the worst that happened? You did a bloody good job.
Yeah, absolutely, Sel. Like, think how much worse it could have been. Like,
yeah.
And think about what would have happened if you hadn't been here. I mean, I just can't even imagine, but...
It is not fair to treat something that's not complete success in the circumstances that you had to do it as a failure.
Absolutely. It's absolutely impressive as anything.
Yeah. Don't be unfair to yourself.
Oh, I'm using Kamid's old voice.
That's all
yeah,
right.
You are.
But that's
fine,
though. No. That's
all right.
Like, maybe you're
right.
You're adapting.
Yeah.
Well, that means
a lot, everyone. Thank you. But I know that it will mean a lot to me to be able to help you fix it. I think that Hammond's got an absolutely brilliant idea, and your help, and with me helping you, and you helping me, and all the others, we could actually do this. We could actually fix this, and everyone's going to be okay.
I only worked out, you know, the theory side of it, so I needed to get your input and on the practicality, and there's still a few calculations to do, but it feels like we might be able to present this plan, because I think, Zolf, you're right, that we need people to agree, because there is still risk involved, but we might be able to present this plan to everyone tomorrow at some point, once we've gone over the final calculations,
At this point, Wild steps over with a set of drinks for everyone. Wild knows what your favourite drinks are. What are they?
Oh, goodness. Alex.
Cells is complicated, okay?
Let's leave it at that. It's complicated. Yeah. It's fine.
Hamid claims his favourite drink is a very expensive, posh red wine. His actual favourite drink is a pina colada.
That's fine. Wild managed to get your order wrong and ended up making you a pina colada. He doesn't know how it happened.
Hamid drinks it on sufferance.
Of course. I think Zolf's is a literal yard of ale.
Nice.
That's fine. Wild comes over with all three and settles down. Like, puts the tray, settles back down, puts his feet up for a bit and gone. Looks like inspiration might have struck.
Yeah, good party, by the way, Wild. Good job.
Yeah, well
Wild just
well done,
stands and stretches a bit and goes, there are very, very few problems that can't be solved with a good party.
For once, I might believe you.
Grand. I'll get working on those Tron valves.
Well, I'm gonna go.
Well, can do it in the morning, Cell. It's okay to have some fun as well. There's no Borealis on the horizon.
Cell looks genuinely baffled. Like, what could be more fun than creating a non-reversible Tron valve to control the flow of not just old but new Trons? It's very confusing. But okay, if you insist. Sure.
I'm gonna slow the ship down just a smidge. Give us some more time. All right. We need to be prepared, and then we can, you know, then we can get going.
And I think on that, I'm going to wrap up the episode there, because apparently we're going to go at, I'll just say it again, 88 knots per hour. Let's not examine that at all.
we are being powered by three elementals.
To swap the old Trons for the new Trons. Yeah. Okay.
It only works because we're in a polar region.
Oh, well, obviously we've got to reverse the polarity.
We're in a polar region,
Helen looks as disapproving as I am, and I've never felt closer to you.
I've just very quickly looked up what 88 knots is in miles per hour.
And is it
101.2.
We could.
So it's
like
actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable, but quite fast.
Well, it's more complicated than that because knots are nautical miles. Yeah. And the I don't believe that
Helen, you and me are vibing so hard right now.
Flying would normally measure its speed in knots, but knots are related to the diameter of the Earth, and since we're up in the air, a single nautical mile would actually be further.
All right. Look,
right, and I think we're
going
to end the episode there.
I have to save both myself and Helen from this purgatory.
You're all such nerds.
We'll just figure out all of the nerd fictional physics and maths, and then we'll come back with a flawless episode that no one will have known how much effort went into it, apparently.
God. We need to go back to the start of the episode, Marty.
God. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Laura Berry, Serena De Rosa, Dahlia Quiroz, Vaughn S., Hannah Aroni, Sydney Zastra, Maya Montenegro, Ash, Jamie Yoon, Faustina Powells, Ryan Mulgrew, Sarah Hewton, Sabrina B., Tristan, Just a Girl, Gretel McCurdy, Eddie Sourboy, Jean, Ash Craig, Mandabot, Lindsay Woodcock, Nick Ball, Emily Lalande, Stern Stund and Spiral, Max Sellers, Gail Love, CW, Desiderius, Samantha Grant, Michael Lynn, Channy Moores, Paperweight Jellyfish, Kate, Jasper, Ayu, Diorcas Day, CJ Craig, Nureya Bessman, Iota, Gwen S, R.L. Moses, Rogapan, Adrian Gergler, Agnes Kiss Me, Oliver Lupe, Katie Collins, Mika Stavropoulos, Lucas Bear, Whoopsie Daisy. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.